Wake up weekday mornings, LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 5s. And A Better Life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta on Suffolk County's news and information leader, 103.9 LI News Radio.
Well, he happens to be the presiding officer and an upcoming congressional candidate. Part of our second spotlight segment on Long Island. Always great to talk with him. I haven't done it in a while. His name is Dwayne Gregory. He is the Suffolk County Legislature's presiding officer, resides over the 15th District, and yes, he has thrown his hat into the ring for another run at Congress. And we welcome him, Mr. Dwayne Gregory. Mr. Legislator, how are you, sir?
Good, Jake. It's a great day, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you.
You know, you sound like you have as much energy as I do in the morning. You have matched me, sir.
Well, it's a lot to have. There's a lot of energy out here and a lot to be happy about and proud to be here to talk about the issues with you this morning.
Absolutely. No question about it. By the way, congratulations. Another run as the presiding officer, huh? You know, listen, I think it's a great choice. You've done a wonderful job. What's that like to be asked to kind of continue in that regard?
Well, it's really an honor and a humbling experience to have the support of my colleagues at the legislature, you know, to continue to lead Suffolk County forward in the right direction. You know, we all love our county, 1.5 million people here, one of the largest counties in the country, larger than 11 states, with a $3 billion budget, and there's a lot to be done, and there's a lot that we have done, and I look forward to working with all my colleagues throughout the year to attack and address the issues and challenges, even some of the challenges that we have.
No question. Plenty of them, Dwayne. And, you know, I remember a while ago, and you were pretty much the more rational of situations as far as coming up with solutions. You know, you have a structural budget deficit in place in Suffolk through this year. I think it's 163 mil, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, you raised some ideas about maybe offsetting a little bit of the deficit, you know, the selling of county land and consolidating office space and maybe hire a consultant to identify fraud. You know, there was some big-time solutions there. I mean, this is what I think the people of Long Island look for. You know, we always hear about the negative as far as the numbers are concerned. You know, how is the county going to get out of these deficits, both counties? And you came up with some viable solutions. It's to me, it's all about finding answers to some of those problems, right?
Right, absolutely. You know, it's unlike what we see in Washington and some other areas. You know, partisanship has really brought about dysfunction, and we can't afford to do that in government. There's too many people that utilize our services and very important services, but we also jeopardize the provision of those services if we can't get out from under the budget challenges that we face. You know, Suffolk County is reliant on sales tax, so that's really a big driver of our budget, and when sales tax has fallen since the 2008 crash, the impact to our budget was significant, and we haven't we're improving sales tax, but it hasn't been improved to the level that it was in 2008. And in fact, most of the economists that we and consultants that we have project that we won't get back to that level. So we have to come up with creative ways to find efficiencies so we can trim our budget. And yeah, absolutely right. You know, I have a committee together. I put a committee together that's looking at, how do we offset our budget by, repurposing county land? How do we utilize technology to find efficiencies and the cost avoidance and savings with the use of predictive analytics that could potentially save tens, if not even hundreds of millions of dollars? We can't refuse to look at these types of things, and we're putting forward the plan to do just that.
You know, Dwayne, we're talking with the presiding officer of the Suffolk County Legislature. His name, of course, Dwayne Gregory. You know, when I hear the talk of budgets and, you know, when the county executive throws into the fact, well, you know, we're going to offset some of this stuff. Don't worry about it. We've got sales tax revenue involved in this equation. We've got union concessions. But as you say, you know, we know that the sales tax revenue has just not been there. And who knows if we're going to get it back. And as far as the union concessions, you know what? I look at the largest independent union in the state, and of course in Suffolk, in the Association of Municipal Employees, with no contract in place yet. So, you know, I kind of wonder, you know, where is the county executive going as far as offsetting some of the budget, a deficit rather? You know, I mean, when you put two major factors into that equation and both might not be coming to fruition, I got some questions about it.
Right. Well, you know, we've worked with the county executive. We've really made some tough decisions. You know, this is a, you know, our budget challenges are not something that we can, you know, solve just by laying off employees. And we have to remember, you know, majority of them are Suffolk County residents as well. Yeah, but we have, you know, we've privatized operations. We've had layoffs and attrition. We've consolidated offices. We've done a lot of things to really, you know, our budget, you know, challenges were, you know, over $500 million just, you know, 6 years ago. Now it's down to about $160, $163 million. So we still have some way to go, but we're certainly moving the dial in the right direction. And it behooves us and in fact, in the best interest of all of the Suffolk County residents that the legislature and the county executive work together in a bipartisan fashion. Republicans and Democrats in the legislature work with our Democratic county executive. Put politics aside and do what's in the best interest of the residents of the county. And we've been doing that, and I hope and suspect that we will continue to do that.
I would hope so. We're talking with the presiding officer, Dwayne Gregory, Suffolk legislature. I certainly did not think doubling that $55 traffic ticket fee, Dwayne Gregory, was the answer. You know, a lot of people will say, what are we talking about here? $110? And then, of course, you know, you couple that with the red light cameras and that fiasco. And, you know, thank goodness a study will be going underway for that stuff. But, you know, I think residents of the county would like to see more tangible ways as far as maybe streamlining revenue in this county. What do you think?
Right. No, absolutely. I think, you know, whether the perception is real or not, people just have a sense that government is inefficient and ineffective, and I think it behooves us to continue to look at operations and see how we can streamline things. I think that's how, you know, predictive analytics is really helpful. It's not only good at finding waste and abuse and fraud, but it's also has the ability to, you know, analyze your processes and maybe find ways of how you can streamline those processes, which can, in effect, save money. You know, the state of Indiana used it, you know, predictive analytics to save overtime in the police department. And so there's a wide breadth of ways that predictive analytics can be used. But you're right, we can't shift the burden on the employees of the county. We can't shift the burden of our budget challenges on the taxpayers of Suffolk County. We have to find efficiencies within our government without losing the critical services that we provide. It's a big challenge, but it's certainly one that can be done.
Talking with Dwayne Gregory, of course, presiding officer, you know, you came into the limelight as far as politics in this county. I think you were first elected, if I'm not mistaken, Dwayne, 2008. You've been a legislative leader since, I'm going to say 2013, right around there. And you've seen a lot of changes. I know you were a staunch supporter. You know, let's face it, changes galore since 08, right? We've got the gangs. We've got the drugs. I know you were very influential to support protection as far as, trying to make sure that our forces have the equipment and know-how, technology, to combat the gangs. The opioids, you know, that's a big challenge as well. I mean, those are two big categories since you came onto the scene some 10 years ago, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, public safety is by far our number one priority as elected officials. You know, if people don't feel that their communities are safe, then they feel like they're, you know, that their government is failing them. So we can't allow that perception to exist. We have a wonderful police force that is tackling some of the gang issues that we have. We also have our police force who's working diligently to address the opioid epidemic, which is, you know, not, unfortunately, not just a challenge that we're facing here in Suffolk County, but throughout the country. I mean, it's difficult to find someone that doesn't either directly know someone or indirectly know someone that's being impacted by the opioid crisis, which is with the introduction of fentanyl is causing more death. We really have to, try to, get ahead of this thing. And, we pilot a program, a Narcan program, which is saving lives, but we got to get more people in treatment. I actually introduced and was able to establish an app, the Save LI app, which is an app that has information for those who have a family member or someone that they know that is, suffering from an addiction of opioids. We have a recovery coach program. So someone receives a Narcan dose, they get sent to the hospital. But there isn't a way to get them into treatment. So this program has someone that will go to the hospital, a caseworker, a social worker, that will go to the hospital and kind of hold their hand through this process and make try to ensure they get into the treatment that they need, because they may not have the resources and wherewithal to do it for themselves. So we're coming up with innovative ways to address this challenge, and we just need to get the word out. There are resources out there for these folks that they can get the help, and we're trying to do our best to do that.
And I'll tell you, Dwayne, I'd like to see more signage, and I've had these discussions with many out there, just as we saw years ago with Nancy Reagan and Just Say No to Drugs, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. It was on billboards everywhere. I'd like to see the billboards. I'd like to see it on the buses, the cabs, and everything else regarding mm-hmm. fentanyl. And just to kind of show people how dangerous this poison is, I don't think it's out there enough. I think we need more signage. Listen, I understand it's being now taught in the schools and everything else, but I'd like to see the actual optic out there as far as the fentanyl poison itself. Wouldn't you like to see that?
Yes, absolutely. And, we're talking about how to, do a PR campaign to market some of the programs that we have introduced and that are available, so that people know there are resources available to them. And I think you're absolutely right. We have to, you can't ignore the problem. Sometimes we tend to ignore problems that exist, to thinking that it's going to go away, but this is not going away. It's getting worse. The drugs are getting more powerful. And what we're hearing from law enforcement is, the addicts, those who are using these drugs, when they hear people dying from these drugs, they're actually more encouraged to go after those types of drugs, because it means it's going to be a bigger high for them, which is, unheard of, to someone who is not inflicted with this type of addiction. But, so we have to get the message out there, broad and wide and near and far, that there are resources out there. We want to make sure that people get the services that they need so that they can beat this addiction, and their community stands with them.
Just a couple of minutes left. We got to get Dwayne out to a meeting at the bottom of the hour. Ray, Dwayne, I call Ray because we just had Ray Perini on just a few minutes ago. But Dwayne Gregory, the mindset to throw your hat into the ring as far as a congressional run here. You'll have to go through a primary, of course, but to battle Peter King in the 2nd District. The numbers weren't great in 16, the losing, I think it was 62-38% or so. What kind of changed your thinking to want to do it again? And what about the strategy this time? Has it changed? How will you go about fighting, what many say is just an iconic figure, someone who's firmly planted in Washington in that 2nd District?
Well, you're absolutely right. We didn't get the result that we wanted last time. But I see a real energy on the ground. It's very symbolic to what we've seen all across the country. People coming out because they're upset about what's going on in Washington. And we saw it, an example of that, dissatisfaction of what's going on in, the special election of Christine Pellegrino. You know, progressive Democrat that got elected with a, significant margin in the reddest part of the district. I think that is symbolic of the change in the energy that's in the air that people are looking for. I'm under no false illusions that Peter King will be easy to defeat, but I believe people are so upset with what's going on in Washington, and quite frankly, Peter King's enabling some of the activity and some of the rhetoric that's coming out of our president, that people want change. There are people that approached me, Republicans and even Democrats have supported him in the past, and said, I've supported him in the past. I thought he was, did the right thing, but I'm not liking, what's going on with Trump, that he's just enabling him, and we need change. And so there's a lot of energy. I mean, just a reflection of it also is, some very energized supporters started a Woman for Gregory Facebook page. 24 hours, we have over 1,700 people that are signed up for to help me flip the district. I've been involved in Long Island politics since 1991 after I graduated college. I've never seen the energy that I have seen, that I see now. So we're excited about it, and we have a message, and we're going to go and fight for Long Island families. And people are upset about the tax bill. My wife went to pay our taxes 9 o'clock in the morning. 150 people standing in line to pay their taxes because of the GOP attack on Long Island and blue states across this country.
No, you're absolutely right. That people can still have that feeling come November. And, the other shining light in all of this, when you look at the past election, Dwayne Gregory, and when you look at, what happened in the town of Hempstead, first time in 100 years where a Democrat takes the seat. You look at what happened as far as the Nassau County Executive's post and Laura Curran. You look at even in Riverhead with Laura Jen Smith, ousting a Republican there and Sean Walter. You have that wave. You have that wave of that Democratic feel. And Republicans, I got to tell you, hopefully there's a strategy with the GOP supporters out there because, this could be a carryover effect. You never know. And you bring up the whole salt thing and the tax bill. A lot of people have that on their mind, especially when they're capped at 10K and their property values are on the decline there. That's going to be stuff that permeates into the thinking.
Oh, absolutely. I was just speaking to a Republican woman I know who her and her husband live in Cinema Riches, and she pays $19,000 in taxes. The empty nesters, they're terrified. They're thinking about selling their home, but who's going to buy it? And with the new tax bill, the tax is going to go up, so people are actually going to be paying more in taxes than their homes of value, because the real estate professionals saying that the value of people's homes are going to go down 10%. So you're going to pay more in taxes for something that's going to be worth less to you. That's offensive. And it was an attack by our president, no less, who is a New York resident. Obviously, he has homes in different states. But, people are very offended by that. We're very much a blue-collar community. Some people who live outside the state think we're, Long Island just consists of the Hamptons, which is obviously, is not true. But we're a blue-collar community, and for many people, their home is their number one, their greatest asset. And to devalue that so that, the richest of 0.1% in our country can get a tax break is highly offensive. And I think we're going to see the results of that at the poll.
No question. Dwayne, before we let you go, you mentioned it before in the beginning of the conversation. The bipartisan, you want to see the bipartisan back and forth. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate what we have witnessed this past week, the government shutdown, and we saw what happened between, Schumer and Trump, and it goes back and forth, and you just know nothing's getting accomplished. You want to see something completely opposite here in the county. You hope it can. I mean, are you confident that even though the supermajority stripped in the legislature, I mean, you know, in essence, to have some serious talks on some serious issues, are you confident that you can get rid of that partisan way of thinking and hopefully you get the bipartisan way of thinking in?
I hope so. You know, we've worked in a bipartisan way in the past. I hope that we'll continue to do that. I'm hearing, honestly, you know, some disturbing things, but it's I'll just cough that up to rumors at this moment. We'll see. The actions will speak louder than words. We'll see. You know, I hope that all of my colleagues understand that, you know, we have a greater obligation to the residents of Suffolk County than we do to, you know, our party bosses, and that we do a disservice to government and our responsibility and the oath that we have taken as public officials when, you know, we put party politics before, you know, operating the government. So, you know, my door is always open to my colleagues on the other side, and we'll always seek to try to work with them, and I've done that in the past, and we'll continue to do that in the future, whether I'm here in Suffolk County or in Washington.
There you go. Suffolk County Legislative Presiding Officer of the 15th District, Dwayne Gregory. We'll follow you throughout the year. Dwayne, we'll have you on all throughout. We appreciate a couple of minutes.
Great. Thank you. It's a pleasure.